Hey, man, I got to tell you, it's just a blessing. Usually, as you know, I'm sitting back there and I'm playing the guitar, but it's just a great blessing to be at week sitting out here and then listening and watching and just seeing how God used different people and the talent that God brings us. I don't know if you caught it, man. Paul, where are you, Paul? Are you back in here still someplace? Paul Rodriguez this morning sitting back there. I mean, I know that guy back there in the green, man. He was going to town. And it was great. I don't know if you caught it or not, but he just, man, God blessed with such talent. And then you see Brandon. Most of you guys, we grew up with him. Remember, he was a little runt. Now he's just a big runt, you know. He wasn't likable back then when he was a little kid. And he's not likable now. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I love that kid. And I know most people don't know, but when he was, man, when he was young, I went to him and he was starting the guitar and different things. And I looked at him and said, now someday you just need to practice because someday you need to be up there and you need to be leading. And every time I see that kid up here leading, he took that admonition. And God, man, it's just a blessing that has grown. And we see that over and over, just the way God just takes us and says, man, I want to be used. And that's an amazing part. Let me mention life groups. We have life groups in our church. We're not a church with life groups. They are to be enthused in our body. That we need to have life groups. They need to be where life really takes place. That they need to be where connection and responsibility and support really take place. So there's signups out there. We're starting a study in September. And it's a study. I will tell you this, that some of you, you know, I often hear, well, life groups, they're not deep enough, or life groups are too deep, or life groups, each person brings to a life group what they want to see. Like, we need to have this, we need to do that. Well, I'm going to just tell you, this is a great study, but it's a study on Christianity, the uniqueness of Christianity, as well as we are going to look at the major cults and other religions, and you're going to be looking at it. It's a video series that will start with a video, then we'll come in with some questions and answers. It's a reactive lesson, so there's little to do ahead of the time. It's mostly to do afterwards. But I encourage you to be in a small group. Now listen, if you're in a small group and you want to change, say, I need another date or I need another time, then you sign up out there. It's okay. You're not going to, you know, hurt anybody, any leader's feelings. There's some that have to change because we have some leaders changing. And so just sign up and make sure you go. But be committed to it. This is one that's going to be a great study to equip you to know what is unique about God's word. What is unique about this portion and why God, when he says, I am the way, what does that mean? Really, what does it mean? And how do others come to that? And so I encourage you. You're going to see a sign up for me out there. Kent and I are doing a group on Wednesday nights. Now, some of you have already commented, but our group, my group, this is for those of you who have been in the church a year and a half or less. So we want to catch some of the newer folks that maybe not have been in life group yet, may not have been acclimated. We want to help them get acclimated into a life group. So if you're fairly new to the church, then a year and a half or so, man, we'd love to have you on Wednesday nights. Join up and come with us. We would just love to have you. So that's out there to do that. All right, now this is usually crazy, but I want you to, if you have an electronic device, especially a phone, I hope I do this correct. If you have an electronic device or a phone, I want you to turn it out. If you have access to Facebook, I want you to go to Lathrop Grace Community Church right now. I know this is weird. Take it out. Okay, don't send me the bill for the data that you're going to use. Now, Eric, I'm looking at you back there, so you tell me when I'm not doing right, okay? You just let me know. You guys know that I am a dinosaur. I was so proud of myself that I went and I actually voted on the survey. Now, how many of you saw the survey online? And some of you did. Week to week now, you're going to see that on our page, we're going to start doing some question and surveys that will relate to the issue of the Sunday that we're going to come to. So the survey was this. When someone says something that you disagree with, there were three choices. You immediately speak your mind, you consider their viewpoint, or just let them talk and say nothing. Now, that's people who have responded so far, correct, Eric? Yes. Okay, so I want you to go to Lathrop Grace Community Church. I want you to find, is it right on there? Eric, they can go down and find the post that says, take your vote, right? Vote now. Now, don't be fooled when it says, okay, the post is closed. That means you voted and you're doing it. Now, I see Desiree doing this. Desiree, have you voted yet? Okay, you're going to vote right now, so you're our guinea pig here. And if it didn't work, you get to yell at your husband, okay? All right, yeah, he waves at her. All right, so go ahead. I want to see you vote. Let's see if that changes up there. It should be instantaneous if we've done this right. There you go. Now, is that, Eric, is that the one that I consider their viewpoint? Okay, all right. We're going to go just a few more seconds here. If that's the one, people are lying, but that's okay. All right, everybody got it? Some of you are saying, why are we doing this? Well, I'm going to show you why we're doing this. It's going to fit, believe me. Uh-oh. All right, here we go. Yeah. all right, some of you are still having a hard time finding Lathrop Grace Community Church. You know, now you don't need to check all your recipes and Pinterest and all that stuff while you're there, okay? Okay, here we go. All right, Eric, take us to the page now. Some will continue voting, but take us to the page. Oh, there we go. All right, so the first one, man, I can't, let me turn around here. Okay, you consider their viewpoint, just let them talk and say nothing. And the other one is, you know, well, hey, I'm going to speak my mind, you know. So I wonder if that's really true. Or maybe the question is this, how long do you consider their viewpoint before you speak? Are you the type that really says, okay, I mean, there are some people who speak immediately. Man, bam, it's just like right off their tongue. Others will say, okay, you know, and you know those guys who just say, thank you for sharing, and they just let you go on. Share your viewpoint, thank you for sharing. I don't agree or disagree, or I may agree, but I'm not going to say anything. And then those who consider their viewpoint. I hope that reflects, I really do hope that reflects what we really are, that we consider others' people's viewpoint. And I encourage you now throughout the week to go to our Facebook page, Lathrop Grace Community Church. You will see, we'll post it, it may be earlier in the week, but we're going to see some of these questionnaires and these surveys, and we're going to have an interactive issue here to see. So of this group, most of you are saying, well, we're well-balanced. I'm going to consider what others have to say. I hope that's the case, and I hope you consider what I have to say to you today. I hope that that really does come and that we see that role. So we've been looking at Simon Says. Thank you, Eric, for making that work. I'm lost. But these guys, Eric and Rob and Nick and all these guys, they make that happen. All this issue, we've been looking at Simon Says. And Simon Says heard something that he didn't like, and his initial response was, not that way. We're not doing it that way. He didn't like something that he heard. Matthew 16, verse 21, it's where we find this story, and you can read it on your PDA, you can read it on the board, or you can take your Bible out, a novel idea as well. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Well, now, Jesus turned and said to Peter, as he goes on, get behind me, Satan. It will never happen to you. The issue within that whole process of what Matthew was responding of Peter as he spoke, Peter needed to understand. Peter needed to understand some things that were going on here. And as he came to this life, the first thing he said is, God's ways are not our ways. We need to understand that. We need to understand that God's ways are not our ways. We can verbalize that, but when we're faced with a situation, we often wonder with God, what are you doing here? Or I don't like that. Peter was immediately faced with a situation where he says, God's ways, no way, that's not going to happen. I have a better plan. That can't happen that way. Now, Isaiah 55, you can go to Isaiah 55 and you can look and it says, God's thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are not our ways. And aren't we glad at times? Haven't there been times in your life when all of a sudden you wanted a certain way and if it would have gone that way, you'd have gotten in big time trouble or it just wouldn't have worked out or you'd have said, man, and God's ways always turn best. God's ways are not our ways. Now in this passage, he says, from that time on, there was a new phase that was beginning here. Up until this point, Jesus' ministry had been very public. He'd done the miracles, he'd done great things, they'd seen this, they'd seen all the things that Jesus had done. He had validated who he was as the Messiah. He had validated who he was. But it talks about from here, there was a new phase that was beginning. From this time on, it says Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem. His public ministry was going to diminish now. He was headed to Jerusalem. He was headed to his death. It was a more private, it was a deeper ministry was going to take place. And in deeper understanding for the disciples, some of the things that they didn't understand. And as you grow in Christ, sometimes we get past that milk, we get past all the miracles and say, man, there's more than just miracles that take place. We need to understand what the purpose of Christ is. Tougher teaching was coming. So Jesus said, I must go to Jerusalem. I must. And he had to go to Jerusalem to fulfill the prophecies that had been told. To go there to where the Jerusalem, mean that of the sacrifice, the field of sacrifice, he needed to go to Jerusalem. He must fulfill prophecy. He must complete the divine plan. Now, they were at Caesarea Philippi at this time. That about as far as you could go within that whole country there as get away from Jerusalem. I can imagine the disciples. I can imagine Peter saying, whoa, 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 whoa. We got to go to Jerusalem? We do not need to go there. Jesus himself spelled it out. That's hostile territory. They don't accept you. They've already threatened to put you to death. We don't need to go to Jerusalem. But Jesus said he was going there. He even told them he was going there to suffer. He knew he was going to where he was going. He knew that they were against him. He was going to suffer and he was going to die. And I'm sure Peter and the disciples, then why go? Because if they're out you, they may turn against us as well. Why are we going? We don't need to go. You've done all these things. But at that point in time, they really needed to listen and to learn. They needed to listen and learn. Or what they didn't do is listen and learn. They rebelled. Peter rebelled. No, it can't be that way. It says Peter took him aside. Now, there's some positive parts of this, I will tell you. Do you realize that the positive side of this, that if we were in a counseling role today, Peter did it correctly. Peter didn't do it in front of everybody. He took him aside, said, listen, this isn't going to work. You know, he took him away. And the positive side of that is also that it showed the humanness of Jesus here. Jesus was both God and man. And they had a relationship as such. And I don't want to lose the positive aspect of this, that Jesus was more than just the Messiah. He was their friend. There was this relationship that he had, that they could do this. They could have this talk both ways, that Jesus could confront Peter, which he did. And Peter came and rebuked the Lord Jesus. There was a relationship. And I think that's important. I think within that, we need to understand that God is not afraid of any of our emotions. There are times and things in our lives that we just don't like. We're afraid to tell God, I don't like that. No, I think God understands that. We have that relationship with him that he understands who we are as human. And we have that need. But they needed to listen and to learn and listen completely. They only partially heard. They heard what they felt was the negative, the bad. How often do we do that? Because in what he said, he gave them the answer, didn't he? Did he not? But they stopped. They never got there. He said, yes, I must go to Jerusalem. And I bet their ears immediately turned to that. Not that I'm going to consider your viewpoint. And the other ones, Peter probably did exactly what everybody else wanted to do, but he spoke immediately. Whoa, 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 we can't do that. That's not the way it needs to be. Because all of a sudden they were listening to saying, we're going to go to Jerusalem where we're hated and where we're going to die and you're going to be suffering and we're going to suffer by the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. All those who disagree with you. But they forgot and they did not listen completely to what he said, that on the third day that he would be raised again to new life. Peter had just given his confession. If you go back in this passage, Peter's confession of Christ, it says when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say that I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ, because the ministry was about to change. And he then says, I got to go to Jerusalem. They did not listen completely. They heard what was the bad. Do you realize that Peter had just given his confession that you are Christ, the Son of the living God? I've seen you do all these things. I've seen you. He had that confession. And Jesus said, you're right. And he made him all these promises. And he said, God, you're listening to God. You're listening and following God the Father. You're listening and you understand that I'm the Messiah. You said you were listening to the Father, but then he says, but now, Jesus turned to him after he took him aside. Now he says, Peter says, I have a better way. I have a better way. No way, no way, we can't do what you said. We can't go to Jerusalem. He didn't listen to Jesus, and he started reasoning and listening to self. Just as earlier he had listened to the Father, and he was listening to the Spirit of God that Jesus as embodied that the deity, he listened and was following him. But he started thinking and
of himself. And I don't know exactly why, but Jesus corrected his thinking. He said, it's not about your plan. You don't have a better way. It's about my plan. Maybe Peter, as you think about this, maybe Peter was worried that about all those promises, about being the rock and having the keys of the kingdom and loosing things on earth and building his church. Maybe he thought, if we go to Jerusalem, that's not going to happen. I don't know. But all these promises that have been made. And perhaps even though he is with the Messiah, remember the Jews to this day are looking for the Messiah. But the Messiah they want is a political one. They want to come and to rule and to establish. And then they want him to come and take away the Romans and be a ruler. And perhaps for a moment, Peter, though he had been with Jesus and see all these things, he slipped into the same viewpoint as those who didn't recognize him as the Messiah to build the kingdom in our hearts. They were waiting for a Messiah to come and deliver them. And perhaps that's what Peter thought. Establish his kingdom then and there. Peter said, I have a better way. The Lord Jesus corrected him and said, no. It's not about your way. I want to talk about the times when we need to question our correction. The correction to you. When somebody begins to correct, and we don't even like that word. I bet some of you, the hair on the back of your head stood up when I said somebody's going to come and correct you. We just don't like that word. Because we say, well, they're going to correct us, or they're going to talk to us, they're going to share an offense, whatever you want to do it. But the bottom line is you feel like they're trying to correct me. And we get all banny roostered up. What's your response? Do you listen completely? Do you consider what they're saying? Do you even consider the value to what they're saying, or do we automatically get defensive? I know most of us automatically get defensive, and we have to step back. We step back and say, wait, I don't. Let me listen. You're not saying they're right. You don't have to say they're right, that all they said is right, but do we consider that? Do we even consider what happened to give them that issue? What happened? What did they misconstrue? What did they miscommunicate? What did they see? What did they assume? And most people assume the negative, the worst. We always do instead of assuming the best. What did they see that gave them that perspective that they needed to come and try to correct me? And then we need to look at that and say, is there something really, is there that? Is there something that I need to say? Is there something I need to glean from that correction? Is there something I need to take away and say, now, most of it may not matter, but that, you know, they may have something there. Maybe I was harsh. Or maybe I'm holding on to something. Or maybe I'm becoming bitter. Or maybe I didn't speak with love. Maybe they viewed something in my life, and we take it away and say, what are they saying? It's hard to take correction, isn't it, at times? It really is. But we need to step back and say, what is it that about that, what gave them that impression, and what value does it serve in my life? But sometimes as well, where it becomes much easier than getting correction to us, it's from you. When you feel you have to correct somebody. Boy, I'm telling you what, the survey says, you know, you consider their viewpoint, you don't usually speak their mind, you know, you just really consider that. But when you go to correct someone, when you go to share something that's, whether it's a personal offense or whatever, the greatest question is this: what's your motive? What's your motive? Is it selfish? They got something. Is there a bitterness there that they hurt me in the past? Do we let it go? Is there anger? I'm mad because they don't have a right to do that to me. Do we have an offense? Many people feel we have the right to confront, but do we really have that? Is there a time when we use wisdom and say, you know what, that's not their issue, it's my issue. I don't need to go and confront them about something that they know nothing of, it's just me. I need to correct my heart. I need to look at my motives. We need to question ourselves first. But when we go to somebody, the motive has to be, and as God's word says, that when we go to somebody because of an offense or whatever, the goal is restoration. Not to get my 2 cents in, not to give, well, you said this, I say that, or you do this, or you do that. The goal of our communication, especially in this role, is restoration, redemption. And I think if we would look at ourselves before we go to confront somebody and actually say, what is restorative about this? What is the role of redemption in this? It may end a lot of our going to feel like we have to go confront somebody. Because a lot of times it's just about us getting it off our chest. They don't have a right to treat me that way.
question yourself first. The Bible says that we go with restoration impossible and we restore gently. It says we go with restoration impossible. It says that the Bible says love never fails. Are your responses, regardless, even if you've been wronged when they confront you, is your response to love? And when you go to talk to somebody, as 1 Corinthians says, you can say everything you want to say, but if you don't say it in love, that's what they hear. Peter was tempting Jesus. Listen to this. Peter was tempting Jesus the same way Satan did. Throw yourself down here. Turn that stone into bread. There's another way, Jesus. There's another way. And Peter was saying, there's another way. Peter's plan would have stopped the course of salvation. The final sacrifice, that paschal lamb, had to be made. And Jesus recognized in him that you're not thinking of the things of the Father. You're not thinking of the things of eternal value. You're thinking of yourself. You're thinking to try to change the plan that God has. Get behind me. Get behind me and change your thinking. So what? So what? Really what this comes down to, okay, Peter screwed up. Okay, well, we need to think of how we confront or what we do. Do we really? But the question being that I had for myself and for all of us, and I hope you listen and consider my viewpoint, because the viewpoint I'm going to give you here is God's Word's viewpoint, not even mine. But some of you will bow your back, because the question is, how have you determined a better plan? You say, oh, I haven't done that at all. Let me give you some possibilities. The possibilities. How about our political and spiritual correctness? Some, we have become so relativistic that we don't want to offend anybody for the cause of the gospel. When we look at this next study, the reason we're looking at the next study, because you need to know with the truth of the Word of God, that in John 14, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but through me, you don't see this as, well, I don't want to offend anybody. That is the offense of the gospel. And we are to expect it. But some, we just keep our mouths shut. We have a better way. Well, let's just love them. Let them believe what they want to believe. There's many roads to God. Who am I to say that they can't get to Jesus and God some other way? You're nobody. That's who we are. That's what God's Word has said. Another way we determine our better plan. How about faithfulness to God? How about faithfulness to God in just being faithful to His church, God's church? He tells us, it's not only if it's convenient for you to attend. He says, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. He says, the church is the body. When you're gone, it affects all of us. Yes, there's times we all have to miss, no doubt. But when the priority of the church, when our faithfulness to the bride of Christ diminishes, you've determined a better plan. I determine a better plan when I can say, well, I don't need to go. Because the 49ers are starting, and I'm a 49er faithful. Are you a 49er faithful over the Church of God faithful? You say, well, you're meddling. No, God's Word is very clear about this. And if we're going to meddle here, let me really step into it. I mean, the reality of faithfulness to God's church, it shows your kids, it shows your extended family, it shows your friends and your neighbors that sometimes I go to church and sometimes I don't. It's not really a big deal. I'm passionate about that. We should look forward to being in God's church. It should be a priority of our life to be together with God's people. But the lowest priority of all, it seems, in many lives, where we've determined a better plan, is in the plan of giving. Oh, you knew we were going to come to money. More is said about money in the church and money in God's Word than any other topic. More than heaven, more than hell, about money. Because we realize where your treasure is, there your heart is. And where your treasure is shows what plan you have. You can go to Dave Ramsey all you want. You can have a retirement plan. And you can go to every group and you can go to your financial planner and say, you need a plan for the future. God gives us a plan. He says that we determine in our hearts what we are to give. It's not an option. We are to give. And many will say, I give of my time. God says, great. You're going to give your time, your talents, and your treasure. That's what He tells us to do. He gives us instruction and motivation to give. He says, man, you can't outgive God. You sow and God's going to reap. You're going to reap a harvest, a blessing of that. He says it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Another way we determine a better plan is in sharing Christ. Well, I don't have to say anything. I'm just going to let my life show it. And I love that. I think it should show that. But don't. I may be wrong here. I'll give you that. Consider my viewpoint. When people say to me that I just going to let my life show it, I want to say God doesn't need your life to show it because the creation of the world shows it. We're guilty because of the creation of the world. Are you with me? I mean, the creation of the world declares there is a God. And all your life's going to show, I don't know if your life's going to just show that there's a God or not. I don't know that. But we must speak of what God has done in our life. If we were perfect, our life would be a perfect example, would it not? But we're not perfect. So we must speak of the things of Christ to share that we as imperfect people are loved by a perfect God who declares us righteous. Showing my life just being quiet is going to show them, well, they're a failure, but they go to church or they do this. But I don't know that's going to speak that God sent his son to forgive my imperfection and I am declared righteous because of him. It's a marriage of both. There's so many areas that we could say we have a better plan. I don't need to pray. I don't need to read the word. I don't need to worship together. I can worship in nature. Great. I don't need to serve, even though God says the plan is that you need to serve. We need to be serving one another. It's the body of Christ. Each does to serve. Today, let's determine what God's plan is. Let's determine to seek his plan. Let's determine to follow his plan. You do realize when people say, I want to know what the will of God is, I tell them usually most of the will of God is already written. It's right here. He tells us what we're to be. He tells us what we're to do. He gives us the instructions for life. It's right here. But do we follow the plan or do we say, whoa, I like that part. I don't like this part. And are we listening completely to that? When we follow his plan, we will be sensitive to those areas in our life that we need to change, that we need to say, God, I need to trust you more. I need to surrender it all. It may not be so freely, but God, help me to get it to that point. Help me to follow your plan. Help me to trust in you. Help me to say, yes, God, I'm going to make determinations to do what I need to do, whether I feel like it or not, whether it's convenient or not. I want to follow your plan. I don't want to be like Peter and say, not that way, God. I want to listen completely and follow completely. Let's pray.